Good morning, everyone. You're welcome to church this morning. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue our series. We've been having a series about living our best life. Living our best life. Everybody is looking very wintery. I don't want to use the word tired. Wintery. Yeah. Has some of us put our Christmas tree up already? Yeah. It seems like Christmas is becoming earlier. November now you put your Christmas tree up. Next year it'll be September you put your Christmas tree up. Yeah, these people, they're just trying to get our money. But anyway. So, like I said, we're going to continue with the series on living our best life. And we'll just say a word of prayer again, because it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to receive the word of God that we hear through the worship, through teaching. So we just say a word of prayer again. Father, I pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that everyone that is here this morning, that God, you will explain the word that comes out this morning. You interpret it, you explain it, Holy Spirit, to their heart. I pray that the word of God will encourage, it will build up faith, and it will strengthen all that hears it this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Okay, so the first thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, when we talk about living your best life, what comes to your mind? A lot of us, what comes to our mind? Maybe not having to pay any bills again? Yeah? Not having to, I don't know, pay a mortgage, not having to maybe go to work for some people. For some people, it might be living a dream, traveling the world. Every one of us has an interpretation of what living our best life would be. But I put here a couple of points which I hope that we can get through this morning. And I'll just go through the points and then we'll go back and talk through each of them. So the first thing that I wrote here is, when we talk about living your best life, what is this best life? And I wrote here, the best life is the best route. And you must know the best route for your life. We'll come back and we'll look at that point. The second thing that I wrote as well is, when we're talking about living our best life, the first thing is, living your best life cannot be outside of the plan of God. So the second thing is, you must see yourself through the eyes of God in order to live your best life. The third point that we'll hopefully look at today as well is, when you're living your best life, you need to identify where you are through the lens of God's eyes. And some of the things I wanted to talk about there is, sometimes when we talk about living our best life, for many people, living our best life is maybe based on, I don't know, our achievements, what we've attained. Maybe some people, I know not us, a lot of people in the world compare themselves with the Jones, keeping up with the Jones, keeping up with appearances. And then the next point that we're going to look at as well today is, when we talk about living your best life, it is actually knowing who you are. You cannot live your best life without discovering who you are. And we'll look at that in more detail as well. Okay, so let's go back to the first point of living your best life. So, first of all, we all say we want to live our best life, right? But what is the best life? And what I wrote here is, the best life is the life that is on the right route. And when we met on Wednesday, the Bible study, we have Bible study every Wednesday on Zoom. Some of us were there. Pastor gave me an opportunity to give a small reflection. And I talked about a sat-nav, a navigator. Some of us may have used it to walk to places. Some of us may have used it to drive to places. Now, the thing is, the sat-nav will give its own route. But sometimes we might think we're more intelligent and go our own way, but then we find out that we go our own way, but we still in the end go back to the sat-nav's route. And that's why I said a lot of times, many people, they live their best life according to that plan that they wrote. So, I don't know, for me, I remember growing up, I just said, by the time I leave university, I want to marry an American guy because I want to live in America. That was my dream. I wanted to live in America, and I said I was going to be like Oprah Winfrey. I don't know if you know Oprah Winfrey. I said I'm going to have a talk show. I'm going to live in America. I'm going to marry a black American because I want my baby's hair to be nice. You know, all these things. But when I finished university, my eyes soon opened. Reality soon dawned on me. So what I'm saying is a lot of us, we have our own plan. But just want to tell us this morning that as Christians, the best life is the life that is on the route, on the path that God has set out for you. And I want us to go to a scripture in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. That's Mark chapter 8, verse 36. So remember, we're talking about what is the best life, and we said the best life is the life that is on the right route. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul?" I read that again. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And this is what Jesus is saying to us. So many at times when we look at the best life, right? Many of us will look at Mark Zuckerberg. How many of us know who Mark Zuckerberg is? Mark Zuckerberg, I was reading about it yesterday. Apparently he founded Facebook when he was like a teenager. And we know now he owns Instagram, it's called Meta. Who knows Elon Musk, if I said it correctly? For some of us here, don't worry, you're still in touch. You might not know the name, but trust me, you probably have seen the product. So if you've seen a Tesla car, right? If you've seen a Tesla car, electric car, nice looking one, yeah. That's the man, Elon Musk made that. Who knows Jeff Bezos? How many of you have ordered from Amazon? Oh yeah, okay. So that's Jeff Bezos, right? And I could go on and on, Warren Buffett, all the big names. But let's look at this scripture here. Now, I don't know if they're born again, if they know God, but God is saying that with the influence that Jeff Bezos has, Mark Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett, all these top names, that if their life is not on the route of the path of God, that life is of no value. Because the Bible says, what good is it for you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What are we talking about here? Your best life. So your best life must include God's plan, must be on the route. So I'm here to encourage some of us. Maybe you feel like you've beat yourself up because you feel, I don't think I'm living this best life because look at my life. I mean, how old am I? I've not achieved this. It's November. Another year has gone, 2023. At the beginning of the year, this was my prayer point. I've not even fulfilled one. Let me tell you something. You are still on God's route. You are still on God's route. Don't let, because you've not achieved some earthly things, don't let that make you feel down. The next point that I wanted to talk about is, in order to live your best life, you need to see yourself through the eyes of God. You cannot live your best life without seeing yourself through the lens of God. So what does that mean? Okay. So I wrote a few things here. A lot of people, when they look at their lives, they often focus on a couple of things that make them feel that they're not living their best life. And I've written a few down, there are more. So some of these things could be age, all right? Some of us, you hear things like, especially some of us that come through some cultures, maybe Caribbean culture, maybe European culture, maybe African culture. They say, what? You mean you're 50 and you're not married? How can you be 50 and not married? You mean you're 50 and you've not even got a qualification yet? You have not even got a first degree. Some people, it could be another limitation that I wrote here is some people use, play the race card. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, okay? Oh, because I'm German, that's why they never gave me a promotion in that company. It's because I'm black. All these things, yes, they might happen in the world, but these things, God is saying that you need to see see yourself through the eyes that he sees you. And some people, it could be culture as well. Maybe some people believe in traditions that the reason why I'm not living my best life is because, you know, there's some curse in my family that I have to break, you know. But we know that when we come in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away. The Bible says that Jesus became a curse on the cross for us. And in order for us to see ourselves through the lens of God, if we don't see ourselves through the eyes of God, we will remain stagnant in our mind. If you don't see yourself through the eyes of God, you will remain stagnant in your mind. And I have some interesting stories here that I'd like to read to us. There are about three people that I put on my list here. Who knows, who's heard of the story of Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, and the Samaritan woman? So I'd like us to go to Mark chapter 10 from verse 46, please. Mark chapter 10, and we'll read from verse 46 through to 52. So this is the story of blind Bartimaeus. And what are we looking at? We're looking at the point that in order to live your best life, you need to see yourself through the eyes of God. So we're looking at the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it reads, Jesus and his disciples went to Jericho. And as they were leaving, they were followed by a large crowd. A blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Jesus from Nazareth, he shouted, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. Many people told the man to stop, but he shouted even louder, son of David, have pity on me. So Jesus stopped and said, call him over. They called out to the blind man and said, don't be afraid, come on. He's calling for you. The man threw off his coat as he jumped up and ran to Jesus. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man answered, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, you may go. Your eyes are healed because of your faith. So, when I look at the story of blind Bartimaeus, that's why I'm saying that we must see ourselves through the eyes of God. Now, there are different versions, I believe, I think, of this story, if I'm not wrong. But when I read the story, I like to put myself in that person's shoe. Now, blind Bartimaeus was born blind, thinking, how many years must he have been on that roadside? How many years must he have been in that situation, right? And some people were telling him, keep quiet. How can someone like you, why would Jesus talk to someone like you? There's no hope for you. Just take it. You're going to be blind till you die. There's no hope for you. Keep quiet. Stop shouting. How can someone like you look at you? I don't know how old blind Bartimaeus was, but maybe. Look at you, 60-year-old. You want to see. You've already come to the end of your life. Keep quiet. Okay. So living the best of your life comes with seeing yourself through the eyes of Jesus. And that's what blind Bartimaeus saw. He had heard about what Jesus had done. He had been heard about miracles. That's why he knew who Jesus was. That's why when he heard that Jesus, he's saying, no, this guy is going to meet me today. Do you know who Jesus was back then? Jesus was like the big thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know who the big person is now in like in the music scene or what have you. I don't really listen to all that kind of music. But once in a while, when I go to a shop or whatever, I hear all these, you know, music and stuff accidentally. Not that I listen to that music. Who is like the biggest shot right now? Maybe if, I don't know, Jeff Boss walked into this room and maybe, I don't know, one of the littlest children was saying, was trying to move it. I'm sure people would just move the children out of the way and say, Jeff Boss, you know, be trying to go first. So that's how Jesus was very popular back then. But blind Bartimaeus saw through the eyes of faith, and he saw that, no, my life can still have meaning. And one of the things I wanted to say this morning is, like, when you see yourself through the eyes of God, that propels faith in you. So one of the things I want to say this morning, in the church, this month is the month of what? What is this month of? Pastor helped us there. It's okay, I'll let you go. This month is the month of fulfillment. And what is the scripture for that? It's okay, I'll let you look at your phone, it's all right. What's the scripture for that this month? Pastor is helping out too much. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And what does that scripture say? Okay, it's all right, don't worry, I have mercy this morning. But what I'm trying to say is that, you see, blind Bartimaeus, right? He, even though he was blind, it looked like his life was wasted, whatever, but he was very, very, like, serious. He knew a lot about Jesus. He had heard what Jesus had done. He had, so what I'm trying to say, to live a life, living your best life, seeing your eyes through the eyes of Jesus, is knowing what Jesus has said about you. So I want us to be like blind Bartimaeus this morning, okay? For some of us, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, I'll just pick in an age. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that age. I'll pick the age 40. 40 is the new 30, so don't worry if you're 40, or if you're more than 40. Maybe you just, in your family, said, you know what? I think I want to go and do my PhD. And they said, at 40, hey, at 40, you want to go and do your PhD at 40? Actually, I should even pick another age because 40, I think, is kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah. So maybe you're 60 and you say, actually, I want to be a doctor. That's a better one. And you tell your family, they'll be like, I know that you're a Christian, but don't you think this, your faith is getting a bit too out of hand? You say you want to what? You want to be a doctor, like medicine doctor. So that means, what, is it 3 years in school? You have to do something biomedical science. Then how many years in the medical school? Like, I don't know, I think it's 5 years or so. God bless people who are doctors, a lot of reading. And maybe like blind Bartimaeus, there are people who are telling you, keep quiet, don't worry, can't. But let me tell you, to living your best life is seeing yourself the way Jesus sees you. And one thing I like about this church is we have people that demonstrate that. We have people that demonstrate that, if I use the term live and direct. You know that term? That means live, in front of your eyes, not a story. I want to use Pastor Benson as an example. Yeah, I'm giving my husband a bit of a break, but don't worry. Do you know that Pastor Benson, I'm sure he doesn't mind, living your best life is seeing yourself through the eyes of God and being a man or woman of faith, just like how blind Bartimaeus was. Pastor Benson was an accountant in Nigeria. How many of us know that? He was an accountant in Nigeria, earning good cash, you know what I mean? I think he had connections, his dad, I don't know, your dad was an accountant, was he? uncle was an accountant, yeah. And he was saying he used to, apart from the salary, he used to get, you know, like favors wherever he goes, they'll treat him well and things like that. And he was living a good life. You know, he was maybe, if I could use the word, maybe top shot, you know what I mean? Living the good life. And then he came to England. And when he came to England, I'm sure Pastor would not mind me saying this. And not that this is, there's anything wrong with this, right? He had to start again from the beginning, okay? He had to maybe go back and start from maybe him being someone that is top as an accountant. He had to start from square one again. But he didn't let that put him off. I think he said he came and he did his master's. And I think at the time as well, God bless her, his late wife, Deaconess Mudgee, she was a lawyer as well, a top person. And she had to start from the beginning as well. But you know what? Even though he started, and he started in a completely different profession, God helped him. But what am I trying to say? Like blind Bartimaeus, he saw Jesus, he saw himself through the lens of Jesus. And I'm sure so many people discouraged him, probably. I'm sure when he was about to leave, are you sure you're making the right decision? Many people have gone to that London and they've not done anything. Are you sure you want to go? I am not many people. I am child of God. I'm walking in the purpose of God. And we know the story today. Another story that I'd like us to look at is an interesting story. You know, there's some stories in the Bible that I feel some people, maybe we just read it and we just brush over it. But a very interesting story I'd like us to look at this morning is Zacchaeus. I'd like us to look at the story of Zacchaeus. And that's in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. So this is a story about Zacchaeus, a tax collector. So it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, so Jesus knew. Jesus knows all things. Jesus knew. No one told Jesus that Zacchaeus climbed a tree, but Jesus knew. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And in that scripture, it goes on and on. And Zacchaeus tells Jesus, says, I'm going to give money to the poor. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to change my ways. And one of the things that I got from that is that in order to live the best of your life, you need to examine your ways. You must admit your faults to Jesus. I know this sounds like a bit of an interesting point that I'm making. In order to live your best life, you must admit your faults to Jesus. So in other words, you have to allow Jesus to work on you. So what did we say at the beginning? We said living your best life is not necessarily becoming Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, stashing up the cash and all of that. That's good. But we read that scripture in Mark that says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? In God's eyes, gaining the world and losing your soul, that's not necessarily living your best life. Living your best life includes God's plan. And one thing I liked about Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus, the Bible says Zacchaeus was very rich. Although nobody liked him, but he didn't care. I'm rich. You know, I've got my stuff. I've got money. I've got cash. Hey, I don't care if no one likes me. I've got influence. But Zacchaeus had a revelation that actually this life I'm living is not my best life, because it's a life that does not include Jesus. It's not a life that is walking according to God's plan. And Zacchaeus admitted his fault. If I can change the word fault, his weakness. He asked God for help. So one of the things I wanted to say this morning, because I like to keep it practical. Some of us, like I said, it's November 2023. We wrote our list for what we hope God will do this year. And it seems like the new year's around the corner and nothing has been fulfilled. But you know, sometimes Jesus is already at the spot looking at you, just like he was at the spot looking at Zacchaeus. But he's waiting for you to acknowledge what you have to do. So I'll give you an example, right? Let's say that you're looking for a job. You're looking for a job, I don't know, I'll use in this example because I watched this film. You want to be an astronaut. Yeah, not many people want to be an astronaut. And not many people go down that path. That's quite a very niche career. But I remember watching this film of this guy. It's a true life story. One of the first immigrants in America to actually be the first astronaut to go to space. I can't remember the name of that movie. That movie is very good, but we have some people in the house who are like, their profession is that they know all the movies, so I'll direct you to the person at the end of the service, can tell you the name of the movie. But you know this guy. As a child, they would wake up in the morning. He was very smart at school. Like before, he's the kind of child that before the teacher has finished writing the formula, he's finished it for the teacher. He was very smart. But unfortunately, he came from humble beginnings where there wasn't a lot of wealth or cash. And he struggled as an immigrant in America. And before he went to school, every morning, the parents would take them to a vegetation plant. They would, I can't remember what they were collecting, maybe, I don't know, apples or what have you, because that's how they made a living. Imagine a child who is 5 going to the farm every morning, collecting all the crops. Then after that, they then go to school. And you know, with that regime, he used to come first in the class. And he had a teacher who really kind of nurtured him. The teacher saw that there's something different about this child. This child is intelligent. And so they had a homework where they all had to draw what they wanted to be. And you know, some kids said they want to be policeman. Like my son will say he wants to be a fireman. I looked at him and said, I want to be a fireman. But I said, don't worry, you soon change. You're young. And then he drew that he wanted to be an astronaut. And you know, some of us, we just think, oh, he's a child. But this child meant it. And you know what? Every year, when he got older, he got a job like an engineering plant. And because he was an immigrant, for a long time, for 2 years, they thought that he was the janitor because he was an immigrant, but he was really like a technical person. Anyway, do you know how many times he made an application to NASA? Not once, not twice, not 3 times, not 4 times, I think not even 6 times. I think, if I'm wrong, how many times? Dozen. 13. See, the people who know about the movies are answering. He made an application 13 times. What am I trying to say? You see, living your best life will come with triggering your faith. How many times was that guy's faith dashed down? He made an application 13 times. In fact, one of the times you know this guy, he went to get a course on how to fly plane. He did so many things just to stand out. Imagine someone getting a course and he was still working. He had like maybe 5 kids. This guy would help his wife in the kitchen, feed the kids, then go to his normal job, then study, then go practice flying a plane. Why? Because he said, I must work in NASA. This is someone that I don't know if he's a Christian, but if someone that does not have Jesus can have that much motivation, I'm saying, what am I saying? You must see yourself through the lens. So I'm just speaking to someone here. Maybe you've applied for a job and you get that lovely, that email, you know, that they always send to you. Oh, with regret. You did very well on your interview, but thank you. But unfortunately, you have not been successful this time. Do you know what you should do when you see that email? Keep your head up and keep bopping, because you know what? That's your loss, because my life is on a route. That means that that organization, that's not God's plan for you. You've not lost out. God is just diverting you from wasting your time. If it's yours, he will call you back. They will call you back. And I just want to encourage you that you have to keep on. You have to keep on. How desperate are you? Like Zacchaeus went and climbed up on the tree. Do you know Zacchaeus is like, who is in our times? Imagine like the one of the top people, maybe one of these Arab kings. Imagine one of these Arab kings climbing up a tree with their Versace shoes and their, I don't know, Moschino suit, climbing up a tree. But when you're desperate, sometimes it will trigger a faith in you. So living your best life, one of the things I want to say, it requires some step from you. The reason why I asked you at the beginning that what is this month of, is a month of fulfillment, is because sometimes we come to church, we say it's the month of fulfillment, we listen to teachings, we listen to scriptures, we have prophecies. But if you really believe that prophecy, you will follow it, you will pray it, you will declare it. When I joined one of the prayer sessions this week, there's a pastor in London, of course, Pastor Taya, and he said something very simple. He said, every morning, if this is the month of fulfillment, every morning you speak that scripture. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, as the rain comes down, does not return, as the word of God goes forth, it shall accomplish what is sent to do, shall not return void. I declare this over my life. You say this is the month of fulfillment. It's the month of fulfillment. How is it the month of fulfillment? Do you know the scripture? Are you declaring that scripture? Are you praying it? So what am I saying? Living your best life also requires some steps that we have to take. Seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. So what did we look at? We looked at the second point, which was seeing ourselves through the eyes of God. We read the story of blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, and we use that as an example. And then, still looking at living this best life, what does living this best life look like? So, in order to live your best life, you need to know who you are. Now, when I say who you are, I might ask my sister, any of my sisters, oh, who are you? You might say, oh, my name is Remy. I was born in the UK. My parents are Nigeria. That's not what I'm actually talking about. Who are you? And all of us have the same identity. We are children of the Most High God. And there's a scripture that I would like us to look at. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So in order for you to live your best life, you need to know who you are. And who you are is that you are a child of God. And you need to know that you are a vessel of God. I actually wrote here that you need to know that you are a leader. But that might confuse people. And the reason why I said leader, leader in the context of the Bible. So what did Jesus say about Christians and leaders? Jesus Christ gave an example to his disciples. He said, whoever wants to be first must be last. And Jesus then washed his disciples' feet. And what I said is, in living your best life, you need to know that you're a vessel of God. So you're a vessel of God in your family, in your marriage, in your local church, wherever you find yourself. So let me give an example. So some of us, you find yourself that you're in families. I give myself as an example. I come from a family where it's like, has anyone ever watched the Brady Bunch? You know about the Brady Bunch? No? Okay, maybe some of us are too young. Or basically, I come from a family that is very interesting, full of lovely, nice drama. And it just dawned on me when I wasn't at church last week. I went for family, like appointment. Yeah, my grandma turned 95. And one of my nieces, yeah, well, my mom's brother's children, what's that? That's my niece, right? One of my nieces, I've not seen her in years. I was still seeing her as like that, but now, man, she's, you know, looking all good, hair done, nails, everything. I'm like, okay. She came up to me and she said, do you know what you used to do to us when we were little? I said, what do you mean? What did I used to do? She said, I would always say, if you don't behave, you will see my red eyes. And I used to tell, and I used to make them learn scriptures. I was like, really? Did I used to do that? I can't see myself like that. And then she then came to me and she gave me her number. And then I said, I'm so sorry. I apologize for how I treated you when you were young. I said, I didn't know better back then. I'm so sorry if I said I see your red eyes. And then I said, and I made you learn all those scriptures. And then she said, oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. And I could see in her eyes that she was happy that I made her learn those scriptures, and she kind of wanted me to draw near to her. So what am I saying? Living your best life, right, is seeing yourself as a vessel where you are. You are a vessel in that marriage. You're a vessel in that family. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I want to find my purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. Your purpose is all around you. See problems everywhere waiting for you to solve. In your family, in your university. Living your best life is impacting people. That's the point I wanted to make. You know, living your best life is impacting people. Look at all of us here. Pastor Benson is living his best life right now. You know, I know he told us stories how he wanted to work in Canary Wharf and the skyscrapers and all those things, but God captured him and brought him here to Bristol. And he has impacted many people's lives. I can testify to that personally. My husband can. And I'm sure so many of you have had your one-on-one dealings with him. Living your best life is a life that impacts people. Because let me tell you, when you die, no one's going to say, oh, and he had a really nice BMW. And he really had a really nice house. No. People are going to talk about the impact that you got from them, you know? And I was thinking about something lately. How many of you have tasted my jollof rice? How many of you have tasted my fried rice? It's not boasting, but I have evidence here. My fried rice is nice, isn't it? And my jollof rice. But you know what? I remembered something the other day that, you know, late Deaconess Moji, I think I told Sister Tisha, but maybe Pastor doesn't know, that jollof rice that you're enjoying and that fried rice, do you know that it's Pastor's wife that gave me the secrets to making that? It might look like something simple, but what am I trying to say? What lives on after you go, after you die, is the impact you had on people. So living your best life is seeing yourself as a vessel of God and seeing the problems you can solve in your family, the problems you can solve in your office, the problems that you can solve wherever you find yourself, you know, that is living your best life. So that's one of the points I want us to take away as well. And then lastly, closing, you know, living your best life, one of the things I want to say, living your best life is discipling others and also being discipled. That's being living your best life. So that's what Pastor Benson does when he disciples. That's what Jesus did. That's why we have Christians today. He discipled those 12 disciples and they discipled so many other people. And here we are today as Christians. So living your best life is impacting others, is allowing yourself to be used as God's vessel, disciple others, and allowing yourself to be discipled. And that's one of the things I wanted to say here as well, is we are family here. You know, living your best life is being, is allowing yourself to be discipled. Sometimes there could be an issue that you want to navigate in your life or a strategy you need. And you know what? It doesn't necessarily come from the pulpit like this. Somebody in your midst could have the answer. Do you understand? Sometimes I know we want to be private, we want to be British, conservative. Don't worry, there's GDPR. Pastor will never, ever wash your business out. But sometimes the answer is in our midst. So I just wanted to just chip that in. And then living your best life is finding purpose in your local church. And I'm going to end there, okay? Remember when I was last up here, we read a scripture. I can't remember where the scripture was. Maybe someone can remind me. But there was something that was highlighted there. It talked about every, in heaven, they made notes of every single church. So CFT Bristol Church, Redeemed Church, every church that is Bible believing. Not every, some church, every church. And the members in heaven, they know who goes to that church. Living your best life is finding your purpose in your local church. Because we recognize there that living your best life is not just talking about your earthly pursuits. It's talking about your purpose in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, right now, we're in a time where, I know it, in Isaiah chapter 2, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord is going to be the highest mountain. And it says, many people will cry out. There'll be so much bad news on the news. There'll be war. There'll be so much negativity. And people will catch the revelation. And people will start running and flooding to the house of God. That's what Isaiah chapter 2, to be taught the word of God. The church will be jam-packed. And Pastor Benson is not going to be able to do it on his own. We're going to need choir members. We're going to need people to usher. We're going to need people in different. So living your best life is finding your purpose in God's plan as well. And I want to encourage us that in order in living our best life, let's not neglect that side of it. Because in heaven, like I said, they have a record of every church. They have a record. And imagine if, I don't know who someone is famous. Imagine you're in heaven and then Abraham comes up to you and says, hey, bros, you're welcome to heaven. So I heard you in CFT Bristol Church. You heard all the things that you did in that church, that bag of hope. Oh, my God. Oh, brother, it's nice to see you. I'm Moses. Yeah, I know you've heard of me. I parted the Red Sea and all of that. Yeah, it was quite a challenge bringing those Israelites. They're very stubborn. Through, you know, the wilderness. But I've heard all the things that you did in the church. Oh, I'm telling you, living your best life is also finding your purpose in your local church. And we'll bring that to an end. Maybe that wasn't what you expected me to say about living your best life. Maybe you thought I'd say living your best life is having that Jaguar parked on your lane, that 10-bedroom house. All of that is good. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All those things are small things. They'll be added, as Apostle would say, it's cheap. Success is cheap for a Christian. Success runs after you. All you need to do is seek God's house first. I'd like us to rise, please. And with what we've heard this morning, I want us to just open up our heart to God and saying, Father, Lord, I thank you for this perspective that you have made me see about living my best life. I will no longer see my life as how maybe culture wants me to see my life or comparing myself with others. I will see my life through the eyes of God. Father, Lord, God, Jesus, in order to live my best life, I just want to live my life according to your plan.